blood is eternal, and the blood can't be taken away. We was talking about that eternal security in our Sunday school class this morning, and I want folks to understand eternal security the way that it really is. But let me tell you, when the blood's really there, amen, you're really secure. That's what you need to know, amen. That's the main thing. Turn in your Bibles this morning with us into Ezekiel chapter number 22. If you're turning into Ezekiel 22, and you want to go on a fishing trip and haven't signed up yet, there's still time. Today is the last day. We need to get the money into Brother Adam so we can be sure how many we really do have. You know, you always have a lot of folks that sign up, and then some don't show up or some don't come. They change their mind or circumstances change. But we really would like to try to get the money in today so that we have a good, accurate count. There's still time for some folks if you want to invite somebody to come. They can pay on the day that we get there. But we really need to try to get that nailed down today so that we know for sure, because we had so many sign up, we had to get another boat. The captain had to ask another boat to come and help us. And we'd like to have a good group go, have a good time of fellowship together from men of the church. And I tell you what, it's good for God's people to get together in a fellowship together. Amen. And it's just a great time just to go out and spend an afternoon together. And I'm sure you'll catch fish. I've always caught fish when we went, and we've always had a great time, and just looking forward to it. So see Brother Adam today if you can, and just pay him for those that you got signed up, those that you know are coming. And let's just get excited about this and just pray for, you know, some things you do, you just do to bind hearts and lives together, amen, just to spend time together. You know, you build a church spiritually in here, a fellow told me one time, but you can build a church and you can strengthen a church tremendously out there just in fellowship, amen, and hanging around with God's people. I tell you what, I don't know folks I like to hang around better than God's people, amen, my church family, my family that I hold dear here at Charlestown. So be much in prayer. If you found Ezekiel 22, stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And in verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They've devoured souls. They've taken the treasure and the precious things. They've made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? We come on this Memorial Day weekend to celebrate those who have been faithful and have stood and have given their lives for the cause of liberty in America. We remember the sacrifices that have been made by each life that has been laid down, each life that has been given. I'm thankful for the men and women who have served our nation. I'm grateful for those who have given their lives for the cause of freedom. I'm thankful that at times in our nation when the call has went forward, there have been men and women who have been willing to stand in the gap. From Lexington and Concord to Bunker Hill to the cow pens in Yorktown and the Revolution. In the War of 1812, as the fortress at Fort McHenry was bombarded by an unrelenting bombardment by ships beyond comprehension, and the flag still stood, and the flag was still there because men were willing to stand in the gap. I'm thankful that in the Mexican-American War in Carabucha, men were willing to stand and stand for the cause of right and the cause of freedom. In Havana, as Theodore Roosevelt and his Rough Riders charged up San Juan Hill, they were willing to stand in the gap for what was right and for the cause of liberty and the cause of freedom. In World War I, we read of the soldiers who died in the Belle of Wood and in Flanders field there, as untold millions and hundreds of thousands were killed mercilessly in the first mechanized war that had ever been fought, and a war that was being fought and waged in ways that man couldn't conceive, the war that was supposed to end all wars, but it didn't. In World War II, when evil began to rear its face, and evil began to cause untold suffering around the world, in China and throughout Asia, as the Japanese brutally conquered and took lands to possess that they might fuel their war machine. Across Europe, as the socialists and the fascists began to rear their heads and began to do the unthinkable things that we read about in history that happened there, in Korea and in Vietnam, in the Persian Gulf, as the wars have raged, there have always been men and women who have been willing to go above and beyond what was required, and above and beyond what was needed and what was demanded of them and what they had signed up to do for the cause of liberty and for the cause of freedom. And sometimes when we think about the wars that have been fought, we want to sit back and we want to relax and we want to take our ease. But friend, there's never a time to be at ease. There's never a time to relax your guard, because evil is always waiting to rear its head. And so it is that as we have sent our sons and daughters off to fight in the battlefields of America and in the battlefields of this world, they have gone with the support and with the prayers of those who have been left behind here that couldn't do anything else. Many here were unable to fight during the Second World War, but they were praying. Many here were unable and undraftable, unable to become cannon fodder for the jungles of Vietnam, but there were men and women who were here who were praying relentlessly, who were praying wholeheartedly that these folks might be in safety. And so it is, as we look to our text this morning, we see a nation that has been besieged. We see a nation that has been destroyed and utterly tore down because there was no one that was willing to stand in the gap. I'm thankful for those who have stood on the gap on the foreign fields, but I'm thankful for those in the Christian army that are willing to stand in the gap for the cause of salvation. And the cause of salvation is the cause of liberty. For Jesus said he came to set at liberty those who were in bondage, those who were in prison, and those who were oppressed in any ways. As we look at our text this morning, we can see a grave problem that has arisen, a grave problem that exists in Israel and in Judah. The breaches in the wall, the breach in the hedge, the breach in the protection had been let down, and there was no one to stand in the gap. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought of standing in the gap. It's not easy to stand in the gap. It's not a popular place to be, to stand in the gap. But it's a needful thing. I've read many stories of many great American heroes, some that you've probably never even heard of, but mean a world to the people who were there at the time when they were willing to stand up and do extraordinary things. I read this week of one of those heroes, a young fighter pilot by the name of Butch O'Hare. How many has ever heard of Butch O'Hare? I know a few have. Butch O'Hare launched with his squadron from the deck of his carrier to carry out an attack upon the Japanese. And as he got airborne and as they were traveling, he realized that someone had forgot to fuel his airplane. And as he radioed his commander and let him know his situation, he was instructed to turn back, for he would not have enough fuel to make it to their objective and make it back to the ship. And reluctantly, he turned back to go back to the carrier. But on his way back to the carrier, he saw the most horrific of sights. A whole squadron of Japanese fighters preparing to attack the very squadron, the very carrier group that he had just left. And with only enough fuel to go one way, that was back to his carrier, Butch O'Hare went into action. And he dove into the midst of this squadron of Japanese planes. They just fired every round they had. So tenaciously he attacked. And he attacked and he attacked. That the Japanese didn't know how many planes were attacking them. When he ran out of bullets, he literally flew to Japanese planes and would try to nip their wings with his propeller, which put him in peril as well. His attack was so tenacious that the Japanese retreated. And after landing and reporting what had happened and reviewing his gunship footage, they realized just what an extraordinary feat Butch O'Hara had just completed. He actually became the first fighter ace of World War II for his actions there that day. He saved a carrier group from certain destruction because all their planes had launched. They had no cover. He stood in the gap when it put his own life in peril. During the Battle of Leyte Gulf, a small destroyer group found the main Japanese attack force with the greatest battleship that had ever been built, the Amato, that had successfully lured the American fleet into a trap that the American fleet thought they had set for the Japanese. And as the American forces were engaging the Japanese fleet that they thought was the main fleet, the Amato and its task force was steaming towards them until they take off. The commander of a small group of destroyers called Tin Cans, simply because that's all they are. They have no armor. They have no ability to ward off any kind of an attack. They're just there to protect the carrier group. So tenaciously attacked the Amato and its carrier group, its battle group that traveled with it, with these little old tin cans, shooting 5-inch shells at a ship that was lobbing 18-inch shells the size of a Volkswagen, the weight of a Volkswagen back at them, that the Japanese Navy retreated. someone was willing to stand in the gap. It wasn't easy. It wasn't popular, but folks, people have stood in the gap. When God told Abram that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham began to plead with God. And God listened to Abram. Abram stood in the gap. When God's people rebelled after he had brought them out of Israel, and God thought, well, I'll told his servant Moses, he said, I'll just destroy this people and I'll create in you a new nation that will follow me. Moses made intercession for the people. Moses poured his heart out before God and said, God, if these don't go in, then blot my name out of the book as well. Moses stood in the gap. When the people of Israel again rebelled and the plague was running through the midst of the congregation and the midst of the people of the camp, and Moses told Aaron, he said, quick, make intercession for the people. And the Bible says that as Aaron went and as he offered the offering and as he offered up the incense, he stood between the living and the dead. Aaron stood in the gap. Paul prayed for Israel. And he said, my heart's desire is that they would be saved. He said, if I could be a curse to myself, that Israel might be saved. That's my desire. Paul stood in the gap. We see lawlessness. We see evil. We see all the things that are happening, going on in this world. And we wonder what it's going to take. Friends, it's going to take some men and women. It's going to take some boys and girls that love the Lord, that are willing to stand in the gap. America is on the verge. I believe right now she could go one way or the other. But she's so close and she's tilting so far to going too far, she can never come back. But what's missing in America today that America has had before is someone willing to stand in the gap. Someone willing to pay the cost. Thomas Jefferson is one of my favorite presidents just simply because of the vast knowledge he had and the profound truths that he spoke. And he even spoke of liberty, and he said the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and of tyrants. See, the cost of liberty is never free. And the cost of liberty never runs out. And so it is the cost of godliness, the cost of being a godly nation. We have lived so long in a godly nation. We have lived so long in a place that has been blessed by God that we have forgot the cost, and we have forgot the tears, and we have forgot the prayers and the times that folks have poured their heart out. The problem with America today is there's a breach in our churches. There's a breach in our hearts. There's a breach in our lives that has left no place for Jesus but wants to fill that breach with everything else. As we look at what's happened in Israel in Ezekiel's time, time. He goes back and he reminds them of what they've done. He reminds them of the place that they've come from and why they've got to the place where they are today. If you turn back into Ezekiel 13, and the Bible says in verse number 1 there, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. They have made others to hope that they should or would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have spoken it. We have got to the place in America where the people who was willing to stand in the gap no longer want to take up the cause because it's hard to stand in the gap. The people who stood in the gap for America are no longer able to. They're weary, they're disheartened, they're discouraged because of the state in which America has come. Asa, he tried to do it. Hezekiah, he tried to do it. Josiah, he tried to do it. But now there's no one else left to do it. And Jeremiah told them, Isaiah has told them, Ezekiel has told them, and now destruction has come. The nation of Israel has been destroyed. Judah has been laid waste, and Jerusalem is in heaps, and all its treasures have been carried away. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of losing the treasures. I'm tired of losing the little ones, our treasures, the greatest gift that we have. I'm tired of losing them to the world. I'm tired of losing them to drugs. I'm tired of losing them to immorality. I'm tired of losing them to all the nuts that are out there trying to destroy their lives. And I don't know why we're losing them the way we are. But God's word says because there's a breach in the wall and there's no one that's willing to go up and stand in the breach. It's the truth. It's the truth. The problem is there's a breach. And everybody wants to ignore the breach. There's a breach in our churches. And preachers just want to ignore it. Like it's going to go away. They'd rather preach. I never will forget, a fella told me, and a fella, he needs the Lord. He needs the Lord bad. Told me, yeah, I went to such and such a church that's held at the school here in Northeast on Easter. And he said, you know, he said, I might not go to church. You might call me a heathen. He said, but at least I know on Easter you're supposed to talk about Jesus. He went to the church. He said, you know what they talked about? 40 days of purpose. And some basketball player that had caught AIDS and how he's turned his life around and blah, blah. He said, I didn't hear a thing about Jesus. Churches have become a place for social interaction and social get-togethers, and they're no longer preaching about sin. We're no longer preaching Christ and Him crucified. There's no one willing to stand in the gap. And I tell you what, if you don't remember nothing else this Memorial Day, you need to remember this, that there was a time when God's people would stand up and call sin, sin. Moms and dads didn't make excuses for their kids. They said they're heathens and pray for my kid. Amen. He said, my child's lost. He's on his way to hell. They didn't make excuses. Moms would come to the altar. Their tears would stain the floors. Dads would get together with the men, and they'd pray for their families, and they'd pray for their children, and their prayers could be heard as they poured out their hearts because they were willing to stand in the breach and stand where it wasn't popular. I'm not my kid's friend, I'm their parent. Hallelujah. If you could get past that, you're not called to be their friend, you're called to be their parent, and if you're their parent, they're not going to be happy. Most of the time. Amen. It's time. Folks, if you want to reclaim America, it's time to quit letting the immoral crowd, the ungodly crowd, have its way in your heart and your life. It's time to turn that stinking TV off, amen, when it's got something on there that shouldn't be watched. It's time to turn the radio station when there's something on there that shouldn't be heard. It's time not to be going to places where you shouldn't ought to go. When we first got married, we didn't do anything on Sunday. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I'll just show you how easy it is to regress. Amen. You didn't do anything on Sunday. We still try not to. We might go out to eat, but there was time when we didn't even do that. Amen. You say, now you're getting extreme. Now he's done, went off the deep edge. Look at where it's brought us. Amen. Look at where it's brought us. God said, they even profane my name. People tell me that they left our church so they could go to another church, so they could go to an early service, so they could have the rest of the day to themselves to do whatever they wanted to do. Well, the Bible says, remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. Amen. Amen. We've opened a breach in the wall and we don't want to fill it. God said, I look for a man to stand in the breach. Amen. What, 9, 10 chapters before that, he said, you got a breach there because you don't want to fill it. You don't want to stand in it. Amen. Men have tried to fill the breach, but they couldn't. The problem in America today is there's a breach in our churches. Who's the church? Who's the church? Amen. You born again? Amen. You got Jesus in your heart? You know who you are? You're the church. Amen. You know why we allow these things to happen? Because there's a breach of end. We're listening to the lying divinations. We're listening to fully. It's a whole lot easier to listen to Joel Osteen than it is to listen to me. I'll tell you that right off. You listen to Joe Osteen, you won't hear nothing about sin because he don't talk about sin. Amen. You listen to Joe Osteen, you won't hear nothing about the old bloody religion because he won't talk about the blood. Amen. You listen to Joe Osteen, I get motivated listening to him. He's a great motivational speaker, but he don't tell you what you need to know to get your heart and your life right to live a godly life that honors God in the way that God wants you to live it. Amen. Amen. You can go live however you want to and say, I love Jesus, and you're all right. Say my little prayer, and you're going to go to heaven. Everything's going to be all right. You know how many people I deal with that are dying of disease, dying because of alcoholism and drug addictions, dying because of living immoral lifestyles, and you try to talk to them about the Lord, and they tell you, well, I'm all right. When I was a kid, somebody told me to say this prayer, and I said this prayer, and everything's all right. And let me tell you what, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, things are not all right. Amen. Amen. And if Jesus is in your heart, you might go try that, but you won't stay there. You might go to the hog pen, amen, but pretty soon you'll realize that you don't like smelling like hogs and you want to get back to the daddy's house, amen. You want to go back home to see your father, and you'll get there and you'll quit listening to the lying divination. The problem is that there is a real breach. The problem is the breach exists. The problem is there's a breach in America today, and the reason there's a breach in America today is because the house of God has let down. Amen. Problems, there's nobody can be found to stand. God said, and I sought for a man among them. Let me tell you what, I'll say this in a nice way. We're worried about a donkey or an elephant, amen, solving the problems in America. Let me tell you what America needs to solve its problems. It needs the Lamb, amen. Amen. If it had the lamb, everything would be all right. If it had the lamb back in the place where the lamb used to be, where the lamb was revered, the lamb was uplifted, the lamb was proclaimed, the lamb was talked about by her leaders, the lamb was upheld by her leaders, the lamb was desired by her leaders. If the leaders of this nation would hold up Christ Jesus and honor him and honor God, praise God, you'd see a big difference in America today. Amen. But then I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'll mention God. A lot of folks belong to secrets, certain secret organizations that you can belong to as long as you acknowledge God. I asked one of them one time, I said, well, that's fine. Just tell me what God you're acknowledging. Well, it don't matter as long as you believe in God. So you believe you're going to heaven on the premise of that. You believe in God. Let me tell you what, the devil believes and trembles. Yeah. Amen. But let me tell you what. Over in India, they got some 20-some thousand gods that they worship. Which one of them do you got to believe in? Which one of them is going to get you eternal life? Amen. Which one of them spoke a world into existence? Amen. Which one of them isn't the creation and the fashion of man's hand? None of them. Amen. Oh, they're all right talking about God as long as we don't say Jesus. As long as our chaplains in the military now are not allowed to close their prayers in Jesus' name. And don't matter what denomination you are as a chaplain, you got to follow the protocol. God said, I look for a man among them. He's still looking. He's still looking. He wants somebody. He wants a godly leader to stand up and say, hey, give me the, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. You can take America, but give me Jesus. If I don't have Jesus in America, then America is no longer America like I knew America. And praise God, I like the old America. I want her back. Amen. I liked America when Jesus was lifted up. I liked America when Jesus was honored. I liked America when our leaders wasn't afraid to stand and say, I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it. Our politicians weren't ashamed of it. Our local leaders weren't ashamed of it. Our organizations, our civic organizations, the Boy Scouts. Some got upset when we sent the Boy Scouts a packing. I told them then. WBAL radio, they had a big thing on. I called down there. I got on the radio down there. We was talking about it. I said, it's just a Trojan horse. I said, before long, now they're just wanting to allow gay scouts in. I said, it won't be long before you'll have gay leaders. Amen. And guess what the Boy Scouts are getting ready to do? They're getting ready to open their... And they said, well, it's inevitable. There's no stopping it. Oh, yeah, there was. There was a time when it could have been stopped. There was a time when it could have been halted. But praise God, they were more willing and they were more interested in satisfying the world than satisfying God. How can you say you're reverent when you promote something that the Bible plainly teaches is sin? And just let me say this before you say, well, he's a homophobe and he's a disophobe and he's an adaphobe. That sin is no worse than being a drunk. It's no more worse than being an adulterer. Amen. It's no worse than being a fornicator and living some kind of an immoral lifestyle. It's no different than any other sin. It's just another sin that God can save you from. Amen. And take you out of. But the problem is, there's none of them that are willing to stand. He had the men of God that were there. Had Ezekiel. He said, well, what about Ezekiel? What about Jeremiah and Habakkuk? They're contemporaries. What about Daniel? Wasn't he there? Yes, he was there. What about them? Why didn't he fill the void? Why didn't he fill the gap? Let me tell you this. They were ineffective in stemming the tide, not because they were deficient in their theology. They were deficient in the stands that they took. They were deficient in the words that they spoke. But the people had become so defiant, they would not hear. How many years did some of these prophets preach? Some of them 40 years and more. That's right, Brother Jim. Preached and the message never changed. You know why? Because their hearts have become so rebellious. Their hearts have become so defiant. What's happening in our churches? Why is the breach there, and why can't the breach be filled? Because the folks that we're preaching to have become so defiant to God that they don't want to fill the breach. They don't want to please God. They want to please people. God's wanting somebody to stand up in Israel, somebody to stand up for Judah so that he didn't pour his wrath out upon her. The religious leaders have failed. The civil leaders have failed. The people have failed. And every one of them has failed for the same reason. The religious leaders have devoured like a lion. Why? Because they wanted to consume it upon her. I'm sick and tired of the preachers that's got all the gimmicks and trying to build churches. Let me tell you what, if Jesus can't do it, if Jesus don't draw them, if Jesus don't keep them, nothing else will. Amen. I'm tired of all the world, all the politicians. Man, I tell you what, and please don't take this the wrong way, I am a compassionate man. You can ask my wife, if she don't keep an eye on me, she said I'd give away everything I had, especially if someone's in need. I'm compassionate. But our politicians have used the very tools that they should be using to get people out of poverty. And out of the place they are simply to buy votes.
That's right.
Amen. Let's say that the princes have devoured as wolves. Amen. They're not worried about you. They're not worried about the poor. Amen. I won't mention no names, but from one house to the other house in Washington, inside that beltway, you'd be lucky to find a handful of people that really care about what happens to the poor. You know what they're worried about? They're worried about lining their own pockets. They're worried about how many people. Let me just put it this way. If you want to serve so bad and you want to serve so much, why don't you go down there and serve for nothing? Amen. They vote themselves in things that don't apply to anybody else. They exclude themselves from things that apply to everybody else. And every one of them that's about to go in there and serves any time in government winds up becoming a millionaire. Isn't it amazing? I'm just a servant. No, you're not. You're a leech. Amen. Politics. Poly, the Latin word for many. Leech. A tick, huh? A leech. Politics, many blood-sucking leeches. Amen. Wrapped up in a nutshell. Real easy. Amen. God said, I look for a man. He said, I can find none. The religious crowd, they're corrupt. The civic crowd, the civil crowd, they're corrupt. Even the people have become so corrupt, they don't no longer want to hear what they say at the Word of God. Amen. The problem is that there's a breach and people don't realize that the breach is coming and the judgment of God is going to be poured out. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm proud to be an American, but I know that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on America if America doesn't do something. If someone doesn't stand in the breach and fill in the gap, amen, there's going to be no hope for America. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. another, that you may be healed. But listen to this. Here's your role, church. Here's where we need to be. And here's where we need to stand in the gap. He said, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you, church, if you get to pray in the way that you ought to pray, you'll see God do great things. Amen. If you get a burden for your children, and we see our altars stained with tears, you'll see things begin to happen. Amen. I've heard more than one preacher tell me the same thing. Heard Brother Neath last week. Said Brother Ryman said the same thing. People come to him. They got problems. Their life's a mess. He tells them what to do. Let's get in the book and find out what the book says. They don't want to hear that. They want some magic wand. Yeah. Let me tell you what. It's going to take people getting earnest. The effectual, fervent prayer. Amen. How many of you spend any time, any real time in prayer? How many have you really, truly, and earnestly prayed for your nation, prayed for your leaders, and prayed that God would do something? In Isaiah chapter 58, it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Praise God, I'm glad he answers. Amen. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. What if we pray, if we seek God's face, if we get earnest with him, and listen to what he said, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell in. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I know God is looking for somebody to stand in the breach. And this morning, you're the one he's looking for. This morning, you're the one he said could stand, and you could pray, and your testimony would be strong, and you could be known as the restorer of the breach. You could be the one that fills the gap. But are you willing to do it? Are you willing to be like Butch O'Hare? Amen. That when you're gone, when your life on this earth is done, people won't remember you just because of you. But they'll remember where you stood and what you did. See, there's an airport in Chicago named in honor of Butch O'Hare. One time was the largest airport in the world. 5 miles from one end to the other to walk that sucker. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She got to walk it one night. Amen. But she was coming to meet me, and it was all worth it. Amen. Praise God. I'm not so worried that people remember me. But praise God when they talk about my name. I hope they say there's a man that was willing to stand in the gap. There's a man that had a backbone that wasn't afraid to preach about sin. There's a man that loved the Lord and had a burden for souls. A fellow was asking a preacher, and this is a true story, at a crusade. He said, I don't get it. He said, I got a church that I've got 500 members, and I thought I had something until I met you. You got a church that has 5,000 members. He says, how did you do it? He said, I didn't. He says, how long do you spend in prayer every day? The fellow told him, said, well, I spend, roughly 50, 55 minutes, sometimes, a little more in prayer. He said, I spend a minimum of 5 hours a day in prayer. Standing in the gap. He said, 50 minutes and 5 hours is the difference between 500 and 5,000. 15 minutes in an hour can be the difference between your kids. It could be the difference between your marriage. It could be the difference between your church. It could be the difference between your nation. See, all it takes for someone to stand in the gap is someone to stand up and be accounted. Someone to do what God says is right. To be a repairer of the breach. Many great men and many great women have suffered for us to have the privilege to be able to stand here, sit here, and enjoy what we enjoy today. They have stood in the breach for you. Are you willing to stand in the breach for the generation that is to come? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get